News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're spending some time today focusing on the question of school choice. I say question because it's always a question in Alabama. Will the state legislature do something? And right now, the current body of the state legislature is fairly mixed with somewhat of an apathetic stance towards doing something about an education system that is ranked 50th in the nation. 52nd in math, which is awful. How are you 52nd out of 50 states? Well, because we dropped behind, apparently, the Department of Defense schools overseas and Puerto Rico, which are also ranking above us. And there are multiple states, by the way, that spend less than we do per student and rank higher than us in the rankings, because proof again that money is not the issue. That being said, I'm pleased to bring on somebody right now. The Vice President for Strategic Communications for Excel in Education is Matt Friendaway. And if you're not familiar with Excel in Education, they are a national organization that focuses on school policy, education policy, school choice being a part of that. They have members of their national board are former governors, former congressmen, executives. It's a great organization. My friend Leah Garner, who used to work in the governor's office in Alabama, works for them now. And so, Matt Friendaway, we are pleased to have you on the show. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, thanks for having me, and I appreciate you focusing on school choice and education reform.
Absolutely. And before I go any further, Matt, am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Did I do that right?
You did. I appreciate that.
well, that's because my friend Leah, who is a former communications director, squared me away. So I'm just going to give her credit right there. But
I'll send this recording to my mom. So we're very happy to hear that.
Well, listen, Matt, Alabama ranked 50th in the nation overall in the NAEP rankings. And that's a sad ranking when you get down to it. But we have seen our budgets for education increase dramatically every year over year for the last dozen or so years, indicating clearly that money is not the issue. While we went up in spending, we went down in ranking. Give me your generalized thoughts on that and school choice in general.
Absolutely. So, if you know, I've long, debated some of the teacher unions around spending in education. I've always said, give me the figure, and every politician will come out and support it tomorrow. Because every year you hear the same old, we're not spending enough, we need to spend more. But yet, as you just alluded to, the data doesn't back it up. Scores have been going down. They flatline. Alabama, for example, has been falling behind its peers in the country. And yet, the dollar figure continues to go up with no accountability. And to me, there's no better accountability than giving a parent the right to choose the right education environment for their son or daughter.
Well, that's exactly right. I mean, I've said on this show multiple times that it comes down to your philosophy on what are those tax dollars for? Are tax dollars paid to support the system or paid to educate the child? And if you believe it's for the child, then you have to also agree that the parents should have a say in what is best for the child. And that's, that philosophical underpinning is what's missing very often in the debates over legislation.
You're absolutely right. That the purpose of education is to give every child the skills and knowledge and tools to be successful in life. I would hope everyone across the spectrum would agree with that.
Well, and yes.
Go ahead.
Now you finish up.
I was just saying that the difference is some folks think that that's solely responsible and only could be conducted inside us four walls of a public school, a traditional public school. Whereas pluralists like myself and Excel and Ed and folks, and more and more folks across Alabama and parents, that education happens all types of places. When you make that funding portable, you open up far more opportunities for students to reach the full potential that they've been given at birth, their God-given potential.
Well, and something that really is a matter of stewardship. And if we're continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result, then we're just in that definition of insanity that continues on and on. But so, Matt, let me ask you this. Are you familiar with the fact that we have Senate Bill 140 currently beginning its movement through the Alabama State Senate, the one that deals with ESAs or education savings accounts?
I am. The one that Senator Del Marsh introduced.
That's correct. So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that particular bill? And by the way, I'm sure you see things from a national perspective. What I would love for our listeners to hear is that the fact that this is happening in Alabama is not unique in all the world. Del Mar should not create this out of thin air. This actually works in other places. Am I correct?
You're absolutely correct. Looking back first, last year, what we called the year of school choice, or maybe perhaps the most recent year of school choice, more than a dozen states created education savings accounts and school choice programs, including West Virginia, which created one of the first universal school choice programs. I think it's what Senator Marsh modeled his legislation off of.
Right.
And in totality, I think more than 1.7 million students had new opportunities created last year. This year alone, only 2 months in, or a month and a half into the legislative cycle, and more than 11 states have introduced legislation to improve, expand, or create new school choice programs. And so I think Alabama is pushing itself to be on the edge of transforming its education system with this bill. I think opening up the opportunity to all students would be fundamental, would be dynamic. I know there's talk about tweaks to the bill and make, you know, different changes and addressing some of the initial costs of rolling it out. And I'm sure the Senate will work through that. But I think the most important thing is the fact that Alabama is stepping up and saying, we want to be part of this conversation. We want to create these opportunities for our students. And we're not going to sit back and be 52nd out of 50.
Well, and you say that Alabama is considering that. Some in Alabama are. My concern, as a former member of the state Senate myself, I was down there when we passed what's called the Alabama Accountability Act, which is a scholarship mm-hmm. program that allows kids to leave failing schools with a scholarship. And I believe that is big in Florida. And my recollection was school choice in Florida is a largely bipartisan issue. I mean, it has reached levels where both sides of the aisle tend to see it as being beneficial, especially to kids from disenfranchised backgrounds. But in Alabama, the debate in a Republican supermajority is very apathetic right now. Give me your thoughts on the bipartisanship versus why a Republican supermajority may have more at stake here.
Well, I think it just comes down to, sometimes it comes down to politics, right? Unfortunately, and you probably know this better than some, which is that too often the special interests get in the way of parents. And one of the biggest special interests in this country is the teachers union. They are one of the largest funders of political ads and PACs in this country. And I'm talking about across the board, between the AFT and NEA and their state affiliates. They spend hundreds of millions of dollars in political campaigns and donations every year. And they do that in Alabama. And they do that in other states. And they try to do that to silence and to quell the anger and frustration that parents are sharing about not having more freedom and control over their child's education. So it comes down to politics, unfortunately. But what we've seen, what we just saw a few months ago in Virginia, is that parents are, they're done. They're fed up. They're tired of being told that they don't have a voice in their kids' education. So I think if you're going to look at this through the lens of a politician, you need to recognize that the time of choosing has come. You choose to either be on the side of parents or on the side of union bosses. And I would encourage anyone that's listening that you choose parents, because they are fed up with being told they don't have the right to choose their child's education, that they shouldn't have a voice in their kid's education, that they shouldn't have the ability to take their kid and put him in the right school, and that the funding that they already pay through their tax dollars be portable and support their child's education.
So well said. And I think what you're doing, though, is Matt, and I'm so glad you're here on the show today, because you're painting a picture that when I get on the air and rant about an Alabama thing, this is not an Alabama thing. This is a national movement. This is something that is taking place in other states. And I think you said a moment ago, and I've talked about on the show, that there have been a dozen states that have passed a bill similar to what is being touted by or carried now by Senator Del Marsh here in Alabama. This is not new under the sun. And oh, by the way, it's really not hard once you get down to it.
It really is. It's not hard, and it's common sense, you know, and that's probably why one of the biggest, you know, political players in Alabama is the teachers union, because they have to spend a lot of money to defy common sense. You know, we choose where we go to college. We choose where our kid typically goes to preschool and kindergarten. We choose where we go to school, where we go shopping, where we buy a suit, where we buy a car. But somehow the most fundamental piece of a kid's education, from first grade up to 12th grade, that should be denied, that a choice should be limited to just your traditional public school. And if you want to go somewhere else, you either have to dig out of your own pocket. That to me is just wrong.
It is. It absolutely is. We had Dr. Corey DeAngelis on our show here just about a week or so ago, and he made a similar point, is that there's very few places that the opportunity to go somewhere else with your education dollars are restricted, except in the K-12 environment. And you can get the GI Bill, you can get student loans, government-backed student loans. You can have any number of opportunities to do things with tax dollars, right down to EBT cards and other government benefits. And we don't tell you where to use them, but we do in K-12.
It's absolutely, and it's unfortunately, it's a self-serving system, right? It's designed to benefit unionized teachers. And there's nothing wrong with being in a union and nothing wrong with being a great teacher. But the hollowness of the argument comes down to the president of the AFT, Randy Weingarten from New York City. The only charter schools Randy supports, unionized charter schools. Any other charter schools he opposes. You know, the transparency is so there. It's not about the kids anymore. It's about the system. And that's why, you know, you said it earlier, it's about funding students, not systems. It's about putting the money in the hands of parents and saying, where is the best place for your kid? If it's this school over here, great, let's give you the funds to get that done. If it's your traditional neighborhood school, great. No one's going to stop you from sending them there as you are today. It's not about taking away choice, it's about expanding choice.
That's so well said, you know, in a more common vernacular, I think I would tend to call a unionized school a self-licking ice cream cone is what I refer to it as. But well, Matt Friendaway from the Excel in Education, Vice President of Strategic Communications, national organization, thank you so much for what you do for our kids left and right. And please get in this Alabama fight with us and help us pick this thing across the finish line.
As long as Leah's there, we won't be going away anytime soon. We appreciate you. We appreciate you having me on.
All right, Matt. Thanks so much for being on Right Side Radio. You have a great day.
All right, you too. Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Matt Friendaway. As we move to a break right now, that was Matt Friendaway from Excel in Education, a national organization, by the way. You can look them up on excelined.org. They are a national 501c3 with people like multiple governors, former congressmen, and others on their national board. They're serious about what they do, and they're serious about the work that is involved for our kids. Getting our kids out of last place, folks, that should be one of the number one priorities of every person in this state, much less those who are elected to do the job. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're going to be switching gears in a few minutes, moving to international policy and the national interest, as we take on a call from Mike Durant running for U.S. Senate at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Just plain right. Hey, listen, we got good doings going on. Top of the hour, we're going to have a call from Mike Durant talking about the issues of our national interest and how Ukraine plays into that, if at all. We'll see, because there's conflicting opinions out there about it. I got to tell you real quickly, though, about ZLA Solutions. So ZLA Solutions is like one of the best in the world right now at getting people back to work, in my humble opinion. ZLA Solutions is literally putting people back to work on a daily basis. If you're an employee looking for a job, then go ahead and just, you know, look at their website, ZLAUSA.com. ZLAUSA.com, and they've got jobs posted all over Alabama. But if you're also an employer and you need people to fill out the ranks of your own workforce, just saying, go to ZLAUSA.com and they will square you away. They'll do all the recruiting, the background checks, the drug testing, whatever it is you need. They are there for you at ZLA Solutions. They like to say, at ZLA, we don't make it, we just make it better. ZLA Solutions. Check them out at ZLAUSA.com. By the way, I just got information from Birdman. He just let me know he just had three more orders of socks, Copper. More socks got ordered just like moments ago. Three orders of socks on the Right Side Store website.
That's great.
I'm loving it. Folks, if you go to rightsideradio.org right now, our website, the Right Side Store, you can click on it. And today only for our listeners, if you enter the promo code Valentine, you'll get a 14% discount on whatever you order. That's a 14% discount on coffee mugs, t-shirts, stickers, phone cases, and socks. Right Side Radio socks. I just get the biggest kick out of that. All right. Hey, before I run out of time, I just realized I've got a caller on the line. I apologize. So Chris from Lauderdale, Phil Williams on Right Side. How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Good. What can I do for you?
You've got Mr. Duran coming on. You're going to talk to him. And I listened to Savage Nation with Mr. Savage, and
yeah.
He made a comment one time that he was inadvertently included in the freshman orientation. And the senior speaker in that group told the freshman electees that they would either go along and get along, or they would not get appointed to any committees, and they would be able to do nothing their entire term. So how does Mr. Duran attend or plan on addressing that issue if he's elected? And I'm not I'm not against him. I'm just, you know, all these people, candidates, are saying they're going to change things, but how are they going to do it when they get that kind of a response from the senior
people? That's a fair question, Chris. I'll address that, too, before Mike even comes on right now with you, and I appreciate that. So listen, here's the first thing I would say is every single U.S. senator is a freshman at some point. Much of D.C. operates on seniority, but the truth of the matter is when you have a flip over like we're hoping to see in 2022 elections, you have the opportunity for more freshmen, which means more opportunities. But the other thing I would say is this. Senator Tommy Tuberville has been doing a pretty decent job right now, and every time you're a senator, even if you're not a senior senator, even if you're the junior person from the juniorest state in the nation, you still have a voice and a platform. And what you're seeing right now is more than ever with social media and other means of getting your own voice out there is that legislators can become a force unto themselves. Take a look on the liberal side at Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. She's a total pain. She's a total pain, but yet she is influencing policy because she's willing to use her voice. You're also seeing the same thing on some sides of the conservative aisle with members of the Freedom Caucus who are willing to say enough of this, like Jim Jordan and others who are not necessarily in charge, but they are certainly able to make themselves known, and that can drive policy as much as a committee chairmanship. Chris, great call, man. Stay tuned. We'll be talking to Mike Durant here in just a minute. Yeah, that's the deal, folks. We're going to switch gears right now because I'm sitting here looking at the big screen here in the studio. And the storyline right now, Russia could invade Ukraine anytime. We'll talk to Mike Durant with his years of military experience. How does he feel about the national interest being served by what is happening and with the way the Biden administration is handling it? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. We'll be right back.